The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 2nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's another gorgeous day in Auburn, Alabama. Sun is shining. It's a nice temperature outside, and man, we got a lot to get to on the show today. You know how Wednesdays roll around here. You know what Wednesdays are about during college football season. It's time to flip the page. That's right, we're turning our attention to the Georgia Bulldogs. We've had a couple of days to react and respond to what happened with Auburn against Oklahoma this past Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare. And while it still stings and it's still disappointing and we'll probably never get over those first five games, they're in the past. And so now we look ahead. We look to what is going to happen this Saturday. Auburn takes their talents on the road for the first time this season, and they take on a Georgia Bulldogs team that's probably going to be pretty upset, probably going to be pretty hungry, and feeling like they were just a player too short from beating the Alabama Crimson Tide. So we're going to talk a lot about Georgia today, and it's convenient because Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 is with us today as well. Every Wednesday he's with us. We get updates from Athens throughout basketball, baseball, football, whatever season we're in. We get updates from Jordan Hill, and this is one of the few times throughout the year that he joins us when Auburn and Georgia are competing against one another. And so excited to talk to him. That's coming up at about 2:30. We're going to have him join the show and talk about the close loss for Georgia against Alabama a week ago, and then what to expect this weekend between Georgia and Auburn. Wednesdays are also Double D Wednesdays. That's right. Daryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn will be joining us on the phone lines coming up at about 3:15. He's with us for 30 minutes every single Wednesday. We will talk a little Auburn, Oklahoma, get his quick thoughts on that, and get quickly into Auburn and Georgia. Maybe talk a little basketball as well. Maybe even a little baseball with Double D. You never know with the things going on around the postseason. So all of that and more on the show today. Until around, in between, after, whatever the case may be, in terms of our guest, as long as I'm not talking to a guest, I can be talking to you. And the phone line, the phone number to get you through to me is 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Your thoughts about Georgia coming up this weekend. What did you think about the Dogs' performance against Alabama last Saturday? I have some really interesting notes. I'm going to dive deeper into this team a little bit here today and want to hear your thoughts on Auburn being what appears to be a 24-point underdog right now in Athens on Saturday. So give me a call, 334-321-1390. Well, we saw, right, Saturday night after Auburn fell to Oklahoma as everybody left the stadium or flipped the TV channel or whatever the case may be. Maybe you drank a few more cold snacks, as Uncle T-Bone said, or maybe you just turned the TV radio off and you didn't watch anymore or listen to any more football on Saturday because you were just so upset. But most of the country, and the ratings will show it so, watched Alabama and Georgia do battle and go at it on Saturday. And it was a game that ended up being really, really good. But man, those first couple of drives in the first 18 minutes of the game were a total disaster for Kirby Smart and the Dogs. They're down 21-0 to start the first quarter, or to end the first quarter. And then Alabama scores very quickly into the second quarter. 18 minutes into the game, It's 28-0 tied. And everybody wrote this Georgia team off. Oh, Bama got them. Georgia, they're just not that good. Milroe is that guy. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, they're the real deal. They are legit. Oh, my goodness. And they are. They are really good. Jalen Milroe is a really good player. Ryan Williams is a really good player. And Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach. But how many times in the Kirby Smart era at Georgia have you seen his team start like that? How many times have you seen his Georgia team go down 28-0 in 18 minutes? Never. That hasn't happened. That doesn't happen to Kirby or his football teams. And most people wrote this Georgia team off and said, well, they got nothing. I mean, there for a minute, it looked like it was about to be 35-0 before Georgia was able to get a stop, turn around, and get a score before the half. Alabama had the safety, and you look at the halftime score, and it's 30-7. Most people, if you looked away or flipped the channel or turned off the radio, you probably never came back until you saw some updates, until you saw a score, until your buddy texted you and said, uh-oh, here come the dogs. And then you probably turned it back on. I watched the whole thing. My dad was in town. We had just got back from the Auburn game. We got some food and stayed inside, didn't do anything. We just kind of hung out and spent some good time together. And I watched the whole thing. And I always felt, and in no means am I saying that I predicted Georgia to come back and take the lead, but I did feel that Georgia was not going to lay down and die. That Georgia was not going to give in and give up and let Alabama embarrass them on the national stage. And guess what? They didn't. Georgia fought. Georgia believed they could come back and compete in this game. They believed they could come back and win this game against Alabama. And they almost did it. They were one play away from making it happen. They came all the way back. All the way back. They held Alabama to 3 points in the third and 8 points in the fourth. They came back and took the lead. And I know what happens next. The magical play to Ryan Williams, who ends up winning the game for him on what was a magical play. It was a one-man performance where he burned two DBs for Georgia and he scored and won the game for Alabama. Good for him. But I want to focus on the fact that Georgia came back and took the lead late in the fourth quarter in this football game. How many other teams in the country right now, I'm asking you, the listener, the fan, how many other teams in college football right now could you pick up, hand select, drop into Bryant-Denny Stadium on a Saturday night and put them at a 28-0 deficit and say, okay, come back and take the lead? How many teams in the country do you believe could do that? Offensively and defensively. I think there's one. I think there's one team in America, maybe two, that could do what Georgia did. Obviously Georgia, and I think Ohio State. I think those are the only two programs in the country right now that can make that happen. No, I don't think Texas could do it. No, I don't think Oregon could do it or Ole Miss could do it. I don't think any of those teams could. I think it's Georgia and Ohio State. If you drop them in that scenario, in Bryant-Denny, sold out, Saturday night, and you give them a 28-0 deficit and say, come back and take the lead. There's two teams in America that could do it, Georgia and Ohio State. And that's why I have said this, I said it on Monday, and I'll say it again. I still believe, I believe Georgia's still the better team. I think Georgia's a better team than Alabama. Alabama won, and Kalen DeBoer's squad did what they had to do to win the football game. But I still believe that Georgia's a better team. You know who else thinks that? Las Vegas. Las Vegas thinks that. They say right now, today, October 2nd, you put those two teams on a neutral field right now, Georgia and Alabama, Georgia's the favorite. Georgia's favorite in that game. So Vegas thinks the same thing that I do. that Georgia's the better team. But bottom line is this, you can't go down 28-0. You can't go down 28-0 to a top four team on the road and expect to win. But they dang sure tried. Which tells us that this Georgia team will not quit. They will not lay down. They will not give in. And Auburn has to be ready for that on Saturday. You're going to get everything they got. Everything they've got. It's almost a worse scenario for Auburn this Saturday that Georgia lost rather than they won. Because now, from here on out, not just against Auburn, but every team Georgia plays, and we know that schedule, it's brutal. I'm going to read it in just a second. Every single team is going to get everything that Georgia has. And folks, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous situation to be in. I don't want to be on the other side of that. And Auburn's going to be the first one to see it on Saturday. Georgia's a good football team. They're good offensively, they're great defensively, and their head coach is still one of the best in the game. And I like the way that he coaches his team. I like the way that he makes his team feel that they have a chance and reminds them of who they are. And Auburn has to go up against that on Saturday. That's a lot. That's a lot to prepare for. Because you have to prepare for more than just the talent that they're going to put on the field. Let's get to the phone lines here on the show. 334. Oh, never mind. We lost him. Just kidding. How about this? We got a text in the on-the-line text box. Says, so why Ohio State instead of Texas could come back? I think Texas would smoke Ohio State. I just firmly disagree. I just think Ohio State is more talented. I think they are deeper. I think their defense is better than Texas. And I'm not a Ryan Day fan, but I still think he's a... Ooh, do I say that? Do I say he's a better coach? I maybe won't go that far. I think he's good enough, though. I think he's good enough. And I think that Ohio State defense is nasty. I think, firmly believe that Ohio State's defense would play the way Georgia's defense did on Saturday night. I don't trust Texas to do that. I don't. You could say Texas's offense is a little bit better, maybe. I just think Ohio State's a better team. I think it'd be a great matchup between the two of them. But bottom line on that situation is there are one or two teams in the country that could do what Georgia did on Saturday. Let's get to the phone lines this time. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's the Rain Man.
Hey, what's up, Rain Man?
Not much. So we're not able to talk about the Oklahoma game anymore?
It's Wednesday, my man. We're moving forward.
Moving forward. Man, I wanted to sing some praises and throw some kudos out.
You can if you want to.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Okay, I called and I spoke with you guys last week, and I felt like it was going to be a tough day for us, and I was really surprised. I think our team played the best game they played this year. Uncle T-Bone, I guess.
Yeah.
His name. Uncle T-Bone had challenged our quarterback to step up and prove that he was a legitimate SEC-caliber quarterback, and I think for the most part, most of the game he did. It surprised me. I challenged our coach to step up and show something. And I think he changed his game plan and what we did. I don't think Peyton Thorne has had half as many carries in any game as he had in this game. It opened our offense up more running the quarterback. So I want to give kudos to the team, to the coach, to the quarterback for all playing the best game we probably played all year, even though it was in a loss. And it was heartbreaking as that final interception was. You got to give them credit for up to that point playing probably our best game of the year.
I agree. I think Auburn definitely played the best game of the year, but the problem was it wasn't good enough, right? And the problem was
we still have a talent and depth issue. The offensive line looked tired late. We gave up three sacks near the end of the game.
Yeah.
We hadn't given up, I don't think, any prior to that.
I don't think talent was the issue Saturday. I really don't. I don't think talent was the issue against Oklahoma.
Well, I think to some degree there was lack. I mean, they were missing their top five wide receivers.
Exactly.
You know, the talent was closer because of their missing talent, not because of ours. We're still a little behind some of the other top-level programs.
I agree.
Recruiting and talent-wise and depth-wise. I have a little bit more hope of getting to 6-6 this year and making a bowl game than I had prior to the loss.
Well, that's good.
And that says something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that does say something. And I think there are other fans that agree with you, but I think they are a quieter majority, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, was really down on the season after the 2-2 start. I had thought 7-5 was legitimate. Now I don't know that. I feel more comfortable at 6-6. But I had even got before I didn't think we can win 6 games, maybe 5 with the top end.
Yeah.
And I feel better that we can compete, at least compete with Kentucky, Missouri, and Texas A&M. I still think Georgia's going to beat us. I still think Bama's going to beat us. But, you know, we can compete with some of those other teams in there. We can have a chance at 6-6 and see where we are.
And right now, that's all you can ask for. Rain Man, appreciate the call, my man. Thank you so much, 334-321-1390. I like where he's headed on that. I do. And I said all week so far that for Auburn in particular, and I promise my whole Georgia conversation, we're getting to the Auburn aspect of this. But with Auburn, I've said it. I walked out of the press conference Monday afternoon, Monday morning, after Hugh Freeze spoke, and overall I felt better about the team. I felt better about it. I talked to a couple of the guys, and I felt that they played their best game. I felt that they got better. The team got better last weekend. But they were let down by poor decisions, poor coaching, poor game management, in-game management. And this team, as Hugh Freeze has told us, is not good enough to overcome those things just yet. You won't be good enough to overcome them against Georgia. I promise. I promise you that. I want to continue talking that. We're going to get to the phone lines. Plus, we have some text in our on-the-line text box as well. You can be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Continuing all of this when we get back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. J-Mac, you're up, man. What's up?
Hey, I never get to listen to your show, so I hope you haven't covered this before. But one of the many analyses online of the Auburn program was saw today by, I think he was a former Georgia quarterback, not Aaron Murray. And his take was that, and he looked at historical numbers, he said that it's not a quarterback problem necessarily. It's a Hugh Freeze offense program that is problem. That his offense is a turnover machine historically, regardless of who the quarterbacks are, because it's so complicated, maybe.
Okay.
That it's always been high turnover compared to non, say, RPO heavy type offenses.
Right.
What do you think? Is there anything to that?
I would have to go back and look at numbers at Liberty and Ole Miss, but I could see how that would be true just because not only is it very option heavy, right, decision making heavy, but it's very aggressive, right? I mean, it's an aggressive offensive play style. And I've said this, especially this week, given how Saturday played out against Oklahoma, Hugh Freeze, I feel, has a really hard time getting out of his game plan or going off the beaten path, right, or calling an audible, if you will, based off of what he has planned for the game. And that's why you saw 5 wide on 3rd and 4 inside the Oklahoma 35-yard line or whatever it was. I just think he believes that his game plan and strategy is going to work, even if it is overly aggressive, and that's when you see game-sealing pick sixes.
Yeah, I mean, even on that conference by Peyton Thorne, when he described the last play, the interception, like, my gosh, no wonder, you know, he's got so many different reads. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just almost overload for a quarterback. Even his best quarterback, this guy online, he went back, like you said, he went back to all the Ole Miss, Liberty. It was just a turnover machine because it's just lends itself to that mistake, I guess you could say. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me.
No, I think that is interesting. I appreciate you calling in. That's an interesting storyline, I guess statistic, if you will. And I could see how that's true. I can with Hugh Freeze in this offense. And think about it this way, too. defenses have gotten better. Defenses are better than they've ever been. Doesn't mean they put up the best performance, because offenses are also better than they've ever been, right? But athletes are better, schemes are better, coaches are better across the board. Like, you've got to think about it that way too. And for Auburn's defense, or for Auburn's offensive scheme and game plan, like, you've got, and not just even for Auburn, but there has to be a balance, right? There has to be a balance between, okay, we want to go, 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 and we want to put it on this team, and we found X, Y, and Z that work really well, and you've got to have balance with that. And, okay, we have a lead, we have the ball, we're in their side of the field, let's work a little bit of clock. Let's do what we can do to manage the game properly. And that's what the issue with Saturday was there was none of that. Hugh Freeze had, he had the end zone on his mind. He had, what, 30 points on his mind. He had whatever the case may be. I mean, he had more points on his mind. And there are certain situations where, yeah, that's great. But you're up 21-10 with less than 8 minutes to go inside Oklahoma territory. That's not the time to do that, man. And then you put yourself and your team and your players in bad situations. And when you put them in bad situations and you set them up to fail, more times than not, or, hey, how about 9 times out of 10, they fail. And that's what happened. He alluded to Peyton Thorne's comments about the decision to make that play, and he said, yeah, I would do it every time. Because given the situation, that's what he was supposed to do. That's what he was told to do. And what J-Mac was saying, the offense for Hugh Freeze just seems to have too many kinks, too many wrinkles, too many options. And this is after he said he's going to have to make a smaller package. You remember that? You remember that quote? Remember that quote for Hank Brown? He said he's going to have to make it a smaller package so he can understand it, so he can execute it at a high level. I don't know if that's happened or not. Did he go back to the normal one with Peyton Thorne this past weekend? I don't know. But that's fascinating to what J-Mac was saying about Hugh Freeze's offense being turnover prone regardless of the school that he's at. I'll say this. Against Georgia Saturday, you cannot turn it over. I'm willing to say that Auburn cannot afford to turn it over even once. Got a text earlier that said, he heard this on a different show, not, I don't think it was on this station, but says Peyton Thorne played his best game at his Auburn career, and he still threw a pick six. Let that sink in for a second. Peyton Thorne played his best game wearing the orange and blue, and he still threw a pick six. My response to that is it should have never happened. Did he throw it? Yes. Did it turn into a pick six? Yes. But how many of you in that situation would have put the ball and really the game in Peyton Thorne's hands? I mean, no disrespect and no hate towards the guy, but he's not my first choice. Peyton Thorne's not my first choice to say, hey, go win the game for us. Go secure the win for us. Uh-uh. He's not my first choice, and I don't think many of you are in that boat either. So why was it that choice for Hugh Freeze? Why was it for Hugh Freeze to put it in the hands of Peyton Thorne to almost seal the game? Just if Auburn had even converted that first down, doesn't mean the game's over. But you don't lose it on that. You see what I'm saying here? These things can't happen moving forward. Saturday has to be the last. This past weekend has to be the final straw. It cannot happen anymore. I still believe Auburn got better this weekend. But I think Georgia's only going to get better from here on out. I think Georgia realized they're really, really good, but they're also beatable. And Kirby Smart, his post-game speech, the 30-second clip of it, I've got it pulled up. We may have it for you later. If you haven't heard that, go watch it. Go watch and listen to what Kirby Smart had to say to his team following a loss. Says, we are one play away. One play away from beating that team and overcoming everything that we had to endure in the first half. And folks, they almost did it. That is what Auburn's going up against on Saturday. That's the beast that Auburn's walking into Saturday afternoon in Athens, Georgia. Speaking of Athens, Georgia, we'll get some intel from boots on the ground, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He's with us every single Wednesday, and he joins us coming up next.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we're joined, as we are every Wednesday at this time, by Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, and it's conveniently Auburn and Georgia week. It happens a couple of times a year, of course, once during football, twice during basketball, and so just spices up our conversation a little bit, huh, Jordan?
Oh, for sure. And given everything that happened with both teams this past weekend, Jacob, I'm not really sure what all we're going to be able to talk about, fill this segment.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that we're going to have to only talk to you for a couple minutes since we don't have any content. I mean, Auburn is now 2-3. They blew it against Oklahoma. Georgia went down 28-0 in possibly the worst 18 minutes of football they've ever played under Kirby Smart. And then they came back and almost won the game. And so those are the two storylines heading into this game, a little bit different than what we've seen in years past.
Definitely, and it makes this one really interesting, honestly, for both sides. Look at it from the Georgia side. Obviously, they want to bounce back. I don't know if I've ever seen a game like that, Jacob, for Georgia. Down 30-7 at halftime, come back, lead the game for all of 13 seconds in the fourth quarter, and then Ryan Williams does Ryan Williams things. And then on the other side, Auburn, they may need a win more than any other team in the SEC right now, but it's going to be hard, especially on the road. It's been 19 years since they've won in Athens, and they're going to have their hands full trying to make that happen.
19 years. The year was 2005 when Auburn went to Athens and got their last win. And look, there's been some bad streaks in Auburn history on the road. They snapped the one against LSU a few years ago with Bo Nix. That one was back in the 90s that it dated back to, and this one's getting to that point. So for Auburn in Athens, it hasn't been good, but what has been good is this Georgia football team. Even though they lost to Alabama, there are a lot of people that still think Georgia's a really good team. Myself, I think they're still the better team than Alabama, and I said earlier in the show, Las Vegas came out with some odds today. If those two squads were to square up today on neutral field, Georgia and Alabama, Kirby Smart and the Dogs would be the favorite. Jordan, do you agree with that?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think I give Alabama the advantage just because I was so impressed with Jalen Milroe. But you can make the case for Georgia. And really my biggest takeaway from that game was, if Georgia doesn't get in its own way on offense, really in that first quarter, but it continued into the second, I mean, we're talking about a really good game, and I think a really good game that Georgia could have won. But you look at situations like the second play of the game, Carson Beck takes a deep shot, I mean, puts the ball right where it has to be for Arian Smith, and Arian Smith just doesn't catch the ball. And then second drive, unfortunately for Arian Smith, it was him again. They checked to a screen, and I guess Arian didn't get the check. He takes off running downfield. Carson throws it to where Arian is supposed to be for a screen. Very easy interception for Alabama in a short field. So I can understand why Georgia would be a favorite on a neutral field. Obviously, playing in Tuscaloosa made it more difficult, but I think I would pick Alabama again because of Jalen Milroe, and probably a piece of that, Georgia did not sack him a single time, and it's very different than what we saw in December. They sacked him four times, and that was a big part of the reason that Georgia was in that game and nearly won that game. But I was impressed with Jalen Milroe at times. I thought he looked like we see on Friday nights where you got like a five-star recruit and he's playing Class 2A competition. You know, he's just kind of running up and down the field, and I think he's improved his accuracy as a passer significantly from last year. So I would give Alabama the edge on a neutral field, but Georgia would definitely be in it, and I definitely wouldn't be shocked in that situation if Georgia wound up winning it.
I want to hone in on Carson Beck, quarterback for Georgia, who went 27 of 50, threw the ball 50 times. And, of course, Georgia was in just do-or-die mode. They had to get the ball up and down the field and score a bunch of touchdowns, and want to get to the fourth down thing in just a second. But 27 of 50, three touchdowns, three interceptions. And in that first half where Alabama had their way, he just looked dazed. He looked confused and just out of sorts. Something that, I'll be honest, I haven't seen from Carson Beck in his time in Athens.
Definitely. And the way I kind of break it down, first quarter, not good from Carson Beck, but as I kind of outlined, I didn't think it was necessarily Carson who was the problem. Second quarter, he was very clearly rattled. He had a really tough interception trying to get the ball to Arian Smith, and I mean, it was very much on Carson. I just didn't get enough on the ball to try to get it over a linebacker. And then a safety where I'm still trying to kind of understand what the play call was here, because he snaps the ball in the end zone, and it really felt like the routes that the receivers were running were long developing routes. And on that play, Alabama brought eight, and Georgia did have a tight end and the running back in to block, but Carson had no time and just kind of carelessly chunked it down the field and wound up drawing a safety. But no, I give him a lot of credit because, you know, at that point, everybody in that stadium, I guess other than Carson and the team, felt like that game was over, 30-7, and Alabama had dominated. But they came out very aggressive in the second half, like you mentioned, continued to go for it on fourth down. 5 of 5 for fourth down.
Crazy.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. I think I saw a stat where Ole Miss did that against Tulane, I think, 3 years ago. But that's the most fourth down conversions in a Georgia game, at least this century. I dug back as far as I could to find those stats and couldn't see anything in the 21st century. 5 of 5, I mean, it was a big reason they stayed alive and, like I said, had a chance to win it toward the end.
And I feel each one of those fourth downs, it felt like the game was on the line on each and every one of those possessions and each one of those plays, and yet Georgia found a way to convert them. And it shocked me that they came all the way back and took the lead. Now they gave it up on the next play, but overall, I mean, Georgia has to be saluted here just a little bit because of what Kirby Smart got his guys up to do in the second half, which is why I think they're a scary team moving forward.
Definitely. And I talked about this a little earlier in the week. You know, if you're Georgia, obviously you want to win that game, but you would take the way that played out versus, let's say, the opposite. Let's say that first half is a shootout, and then the second half, Alabama just paced you. We saw that in the 2021 SEC title game. It was close till about halftime, and Alabama pulled away. You know, that kind of brings up the narrative of, well, Alabama outcoached Georgia, and, you know, Georgia still can't beat Alabama, which I know is still part of the conversation right now, but a ton of kudos to that Georgia team for the way it responded. And you could kind of tell as that fourth quarter wore on, we were all kind of looking around like, is Alabama going to answer? And for the longest time, they didn't. Super impressed with Georgia. It's one of those things, you know, I think a lot of fans, as it was playing out, were really frustrated, which is understandable, and that's what comes with being a fan. But I think days removed from it, you know, a lot of people have kind of come back to their senses and seen a very good Alabama team, made mistakes early, but Georgia showed that it is one of the top teams in the nation by the way it responded. Now, ultimately, wasn't enough to win the game, but I think there was plenty of positives to take away from it, knowing that you're going to be tested several more times the rest of this regular season.
He writes for dogs247.com. He is Jordan Hill. He joins us every Wednesday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. One more thing on that game before we move on to the game that happens this weekend. I felt Alabama was very, very vanilla in the second half and just didn't do a whole lot. 3 points in that third quarter, just the 8 points in the fourth quarter. Of course, it was enough to win the game, but kind of concerning for Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, where they just kind of said, oh, we're up, we're fine. No way Georgia can come back and win this game. And then it was, oh, crap, here we go, get it to Ryan Williams.
Yeah, I think Kalen DeBoer learned a very valuable lesson as far as how to finish out some of these games. And, you know, I think it was a situation he called a fantastic first half. Some of the play designs, I think about the motion with Jam Miller, and they wound up hitting him on a wheel route. And that, to me, was probably Jalen Milroe's best throw. I mean, it was on the money. But I think they kind of, you know, shot their wad in the first half as far as being creative, as far as really trying to test Georgia. And part of it, you know, I think was understanding, hey, the easiest way to get Georgia back in this game is if we throw the ball, Jalen makes a bad decision, interception.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, they went super conservative. What I think really hurt them the most, when Jalen ran the ball in the second half, it was a lot of designed runs. I felt like he was really his most dangerous against Georgia in that first half when he took off and ran. And that's something that Kirby had talked about throughout the week leading up to that game, that, you know, you can play everything right, and he decides to go make a play, and you know, you have to react and try to get down there and stop him. So, yeah, again, I think Kalen breathed a real sigh of relief when they intercepted that pass there at the end to end the game. But he learned the hard way that you better save some stuff as the game goes on, and, you know, you got to kind of still keep your foot on the gas even while trying to be smart as far as trying to hold on to the football and not let an opponent back in the game.
Georgia's still a top five team. They sit at 3-1 overall, 1-1 in conference play, and now they welcome in the 2-3 Auburn Tigers, 0-2 in conference play for the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Again, Auburn has not won in Athens since 2005. We are pushing 20 years since Auburn has been able to win over in Athens. And you're from over here. You cover this team long enough. You know what's going on in Auburn. Your thoughts on the Tigers 2-3 so far this season and the debacle that was a week ago against Oklahoma?
Well, I hate to say it, Jacob, but it kind of feels like this Auburn team just keeps finding new ways to lose. And that Oklahoma game, I really can't believe that's how that played out. Wasn't able to watch every minute of it, you know, being in Tuscaloosa, getting ready for that game, but saw the ending. And it's a situation where you really thought, I heard a lot of conversation this preseason when we would preview this game, Georgia and Auburn, and people saying, you know, there's a really good shot Auburn could be 5-0 coming into this game. You know, what this could mean for Hugh and what this could mean for the program. Go to Georgia, play them close, maybe beat them. Well, look at where we are right now, 2-3, a situation where, you know, I think Georgia, last I saw, was maybe like a 23-point favorite. It's one of those games that Hugh could desperately use. It's going to be very hard. I will say Kirby Smart has made the point throughout the week, even when not asked directly about Auburn, to bring up, it's a really good Auburn team. And, you know, he thinks they're better than the record shows, and that the turnovers continue to be the only thing really holding this team back. So I know it's a very frustrating situation for Auburn fans, but I'll tell you, Kirby Smart is taking this team seriously. He really wants that message to get across to his players. They got to show up, because this is a talented Auburn team, and I still think a more talented Auburn team than the one that pushed Georgia to the brink last year.
Yeah, the people forget that. Auburn fans don't, because Auburn had every chance to win that game. But I think a lot of the outside perspective will forget that Auburn, again, had chances to win that game a year ago. And so I agree with you. They bring a more talented team, but this one's not inside Jordan-Hare. It's over in Athens. And so let me ask you this, Jordan. What can Auburn do, who feels like they played their best game a week ago and still lost against Oklahoma? What can they do to try and beat Georgia, a team that gave up 41 points to Alabama, who went down 28-0? We know everything that went into that. What can Auburn do to try and overcome this 24-point swing and try to get an upset in Athens on Saturday?
I think it starts with Auburn's defense, and I think Auburn's best chance is to hold Georgia's offense back, especially early. And I've written about this week. Georgia has just not gotten off to good starts. They have scored 0 points against FBS competition in the first quarter this year.
Wow.
Hard to believe, especially with they've played generally pretty well in the second halves, but first half overall, but especially first quarter, has just not been effective. So if Auburn's able to do that, I think that they've got a chance to hang around. And then on offense, I think that they need to go after Georgia's secondary. I mean, we saw last week Ryan Williams, who we know, super special guy. He's not running the mill. Not everybody can do that. But he showed that this Georgia secondary is gettable and that you can make plays on them. And you know, I asked Kirby Smart about the Auburn guys, Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons. We know those guys are super talented, and they understand that Georgia's defensive backs better be ready. So If I'm Auburn, I know that the turnovers have been a big issue. I know Peyton Thorne throwing interceptions has been a problem, but you're a big underdog. You need to try to get these freshmen involved, try to generate some big plays early. If you can get this secondary second-guessing, I think that's Auburn's best chance to try to make this a four-quarter game and have a chance to pull off a really big road win.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He's with us every week here on ESPN 106.7. One more thing before we let you go. It's been the topic of conversation surrounding the entire Georgia program and football team. It's the schedule that they have for this season. They just got through playing one of the tougher games on their schedule. But, of course, Auburn this weekend, at number 2 Texas, at number 12 Ole Miss, number 4 Tennessee comes to town. Given what you saw last weekend, Jordan, what is your realistic prediction for right now for what Georgia could do the rest of the way?
I think Georgia winds up going 10-2. I think it's a situation where that game at Texas, I still would favor Texas. We saw Ole Miss. I thought that Georgia's going to try to use and replicate that strategy that Kentucky had so successful this past weekend. Tennessee's going to be a big challenge. I think Tennessee is Georgia's biggest challenge aside from Texas, especially because that game is in Austin. But I'm seeing 10-2. I think that very easily gets Georgia in the playoff. I think if they win the right games, that they could still make it, or definitely still be part of the conversation if they go 9-3. But I see this team as 10-2, making the playoff and still having a really good shot at going out there and winning the thing.
It all starts with Auburn this Saturday, Deep South's oldest rivalry, 2:30 kickoff over in Athens. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, plug it all, my man. Tell people where they can go to get more information on Georgia before Saturday.
Definitely, dogs247.com on Twitter, at Jordan Davis Hill on Twitter, at dogs247. Go check us out, and I encourage folks, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to do a live podcast with Auburn Undercover's Nathan King. Get a good feel for this Auburn team. It'll be on the Dogs 24/7 YouTube. So lots of good content. Always great catching up with all the Auburn folks and keeping the countdown going until we get to this game Saturday afternoon.
Awesome, my man. Appreciate you and your time and your content. You guys are amazing over there, and we really do appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. And, hey, may the best team win, Jordan.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Thanks so much. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Go check him out, dogs247.com. Get all the information that you need leading up to the Dogs and the Tigers this Saturday, 2:30 in Athens. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. Phone lines are open for now in the first segment of hour number two. Reminder, Daryl Dapridge, Double D, is joining us at 3:15. So if you've got comments, questions, anything that you want to get out over the air, now's the time to call. 334-321-1390. We wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Got a couple of more minutes here in hour number one during the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He's with us every week here on the show, just giving us all sorts of updates from Athens, whether it's football, basketball, athletics, news, information, whatever the case may be. We always have him on the program, but it's always a little extra special when we can get him on during Auburn and Georgia week. So appreciative of his time and all of his information. So go check him out at dogs247.com. Anything you need to know leading up to Auburn and Georgia. We have a few minutes in this final segment, and can we talk about the Braves? Can we talk about what the heck happened last night? I mean, so much excitement, so much hype, so much potential, and I know that there were doubters of A.J. Smith-Shawver who got the start, and there were the jokes of, oh, better score 50 runs if you want to win with him on the mound. Well, that wasn't the case because, yeah, he didn't have a great first couple of innings. They pulled him after giving up 3. But then all the bullpen came in, a depleted bullpen, a worn-out bullpen, by the way, and they gave up 1 run. It's the offense that didn't do squat for the Braves. 0 runs in a playoff game? What are we doing? 0 runs in a playoff game. The only other team to do that yesterday were the Orioles, who got beat by the Royals. How about that, huh? That can't happen. That cannot happen because this may be a hot take or not, I don't know, but four runs, limiting the Padres to four runs, especially after how they started, that is good enough. That was good enough to win. If you can't score five runs in a playoff game on any given night when season's not technically on the line, but you're in the game or the season clinching series and a series that will either make or break whether you stay home or go home or stay alive in the postseason, struggle how to say that, but you get what I'm saying here. And you can't scratch a single run? Yeah, you deserve to lose. You deserve to lose. And so I know that Chaver got the loss. He did. He got the loss. But the bullpen did its job. The only highlight going in tonight, the only positive going into tonight, is now you feel a little bit better about your bullpen, I guess. But, man, you got to score. Tonight's it. Do or die. Win or go home tonight if you're the Braves trying to force a Game 3 in the Wild Card Series. Reminder, you can catch that entire broadcast right here on ESPN 106.7. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock here on ESPN Radio. Hour number one is in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk with Daryl Dapprich from Locked On Auburn. He joins us at 3:15, talking Auburn, Oklahoma, Auburn, Georgia, and whatever else we can get on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and listen to the podcast. You can catch up from hour one, any of our other shows on our station website. You'll find it at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, talked a lot about this Georgia team, took a deeper dive into them a little bit and talked about what we saw with them versus Alabama last week. Going to talk a little bit more about that here in hour number two. We also had Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Perfect week for him to be on the program as he joined us on the phone lines to talk all things Georgia football, gave his thoughts on Auburn as well, how the Tigers can try to keep it close as they are 24-point underdogs going to Athens this weekend, a place they haven't won in 19 years. 2005 is the last time that Auburn went to Athens and beat the Dogs. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, go and listen to the podcast later on today. We take the show, we upload it to our website at ESPNAU.com. You can go check that out. We'll have the whole show posted for you later on today. Here in hour number two, we're going to have Daryl Dapprich. Double D will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so from 3:15 to 3:45. So be sure you stick around for that. Daryl of Locked On Auburn will be joining us to talk about Auburn, Oklahoma, talk about Auburn as a whole, and then talk about Auburn and Georgia this weekend, plus whatever else we get to during our visit with him. So looking forward to that. Until then, phone lines are open, so you got about 10 minutes or so. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get into content, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at the orthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour, 3 to 4 p.m. each and every day here during On the Line. Well, we had talked a lot about Georgia and what we saw from them against Alabama. And look, that's a team that is extremely upset, a team that feels they had a victory. They had a chance to win a game that through 18 minutes they had no business being a part of. And that takes a lot of guts. And I know there's a lot of Auburn fans that don't like Kirby Smart, a lot of Auburn fans who don't respect Kirby Smart because of a lot of the off-field issues and situations, which I totally agree with, okay? I totally agree with those claims that Kirby has no control over his program and his players when they're not inside the locker room or on the field wearing their helmets. Totally agree with that. But for a guy who just straight up coaches a football team, he's one of the best. And if you haven't heard this clip, I'm going to play it for you. It's about 30 seconds long. This is what Kirby Smart told his team after their loss to Alabama. And if this doesn't get you fired up, if this doesn't show what type of coach Kirby is, then I don't know what will. Take a listen to this.
I have never in my life been more proud of guys competing for 60 minutes of the game over and over and over and over. We said in the second half, we got to win more moments than them. One moment short. But I want every one of you to think about how you feel right now. Think about how you feel right now, okay? Right now, how you feel. Because how you respond to this tells me everything about who you are. But you know what? We better get better. Team on three. I love every one of you, man. You're fighters. Team on three. 1, 2, 3.
Team.
How about that? How about that? His answer and his response, his message to his team was, we said in the second half to come out and be better than them on every play. And we fell one play short. They had a goal, they came out, and they almost executed it to perfection. To perfection, they almost did that. And they fell one play short. So don't sit here and think that they're not going to take that mindset into the Auburn game Saturday. They're going to give Auburn everything they've got. And I'm not saying that they have to do that to beat Auburn. No. They can do whatever they want against Auburn. Auburn has to give everything they've got to Georgia if they want to have a chance to hang around in this football game. Because, again, the last time they beat Georgia was in 2005. I got a text that asked who was the Auburn quarterback in 2005. This is one of my favorite Auburn quarterbacks of all time, and Brandon Cox. Brandon Cox was the quarterback that year, and he was a starter when Auburn went to Athens and beat them 31-30 that year, if I remember correctly. And that's the last time that Auburn won in between the hedges, which is so crazy to think about. And it's a series that I was looking at it the other day. It's so streaky, it seems like. Auburn had the early 2000s, right? Auburn had like the late 90s, early 2000s, couple games in there. Then it went back and forth a few times. And since that 05 win for Auburn, it's just been dominated by Georgia. Dominated by Georgia, where there have been bad Georgia teams that beat good Auburn teams. There have been good Auburn teams that beat really good Georgia teams. And then there have been really good Georgia teams that beat average or bad Auburn teams. Like, there's been a mixture of everything. It's just been dominated by Georgia. And this Saturday, when Auburn heads to Athens, it's not about ending the streak. It's not about taking down a top five team. It just so happens to be Georgia this weekend. Auburn could be playing Vanderbilt this weekend. And the message should still be the same. We need a win. We got to go get a win. We need something to go our way. We need the ball to bounce in our direction for four quarters. We need a breakthrough this weekend. And look, the fact that it's Georgia doesn't make it any easier. Actually, it makes it just about as tough as possible. But that has to be the mindset for Auburn. And after talking with some guys, and you're going to hear it today during the drive when Eugene Asante is on their show. I sit down with him every week for Tiger Takes, and they air that on Wednesdays at 5:30 during the drive here on ESPN. So be sure you stick around for that. Eugene talked about that. said, man, we just got to have something go through. We got to have a win under our belt because the guys feel that they played a good enough game to win on Saturday. They believe that, and I do too, and I think you probably do too. But playing good isn't enough, right? Playing good only gets you so far. Results still matter. And so how does Auburn do that Saturday? How does Auburn do that against the Dogs in Athens? You got to execute to perfection. I mean, you've got to execute everything. Offense, defense, special teams. That is everything from kickoffs, kicking off, returning kickoffs, punting, punt returning, field goals. All of that has to be executed to perfection on Saturday. Offense can't turn it over. Offense can't have three and outs. Offense can't have drives that stall on missed field goals. Defense can't give up big plays. Defense has to get home. Defense can't give up big rushes. And you can't let the crowd get to you. And I'm sure that crowd's going to be going crazy inside of Sanford Stadium on Saturday afternoon. 2:30 kick. You can catch the local broadcast over on Wings 94.3. Auburn has a ton to overcome Saturday. But even beyond the Georgia game, I'm talking Missouri. I'm talking Kentucky. I'm talking Vanderbilt. I'm talking ULM. I'm talking A&M. And I'm talking Alabama. It has to be about Auburn. Because I still believe they got better. I believe that Peyton Thorne played a good game Saturday, taking out the pick six. I believe the run game looked really, really good. I think the offensive line did their job for the most part. I think the defense played out of their minds. Defense played out of their minds. And I think overall the team got better. How different would the message be this week if Auburn just got the win? Some of you would think Auburn would have a chance this Saturday. And some of you still might. I have yet to hear from that person. But if Auburn had beaten Oklahoma last weekend, there would be a group of the Auburn fan base. And I'm not telling you you're wrong by any means. But there would be a group of the fan base that would believe Auburn had a shot this weekend against Georgia. How many of you think that right now? How many fans think Auburn has a legitimate chance to win this weekend? There's not many. And I hate that. I hate that we're in this spot. But what that tells me is Auburn has nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose if you're Hugh Freeze, this coaching staff, and every player in that locker room who's on the bus that goes over to Athens. Why not play your best game? Why not leave it all out there? Why not try to win the dang thing? What do you have to lose? And if you take that mindset into it, Georgia has a whole lot more to lose than you do. So go in and play with your hair on fire. Why not? And see if you can shock the world. All right, let's take our first break in hour number two. We got to get to the phone lines when we come back. Double D, Daryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn. He'll join us when we come back. We'll talk Auburn, Oklahoma, Auburn, Georgia, and as I've said, whatever else we want to get into. That's coming up next here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
It's that time. It's that time. Double D Wednesdays. Daryl Dappert from Locked On Auburn joins us on the phone lines. My man, great to hear from you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon.
Man, it's good to be on. It's a good day. It sure is. It's nice outside and midweek? So let's roll. Let's get ready for the weekend.
Let's do it. Well, we know how Wednesdays go around here. You join us for 30 minutes each and every Wednesday in hour number two here during On the Line. And Wednesdays are all about flipping the page. But with you, we get so much time.
You said flip, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did say flip.
I'm just double checking that. Go ahead.
Okay, you heard me correctly. And so we get a lot of time with you. And so before we do flip to Auburn and Georgia, I do want to get your thoughts on Auburn, Oklahoma, because everybody's had their chances. And I know you've done this on Locked On Auburn and talking with people throughout this week. But just your final takeaways as we do begin to shift out of what was a disappointment on Saturday.
Well, I think it's the most disappointing of all because it was the most winnable of all as far as the feeling. Okay, so the Arkansas-Cal games, I just during the game, I just never felt like Auburn was going to get over the hump. And this game, going into the fourth quarter, not only did I feel, okay, Auburn's turned the corner, they're going to win a big game, I felt like it was even going to get bigger. The lead was going to expand. And, you know, when Auburn had the ball with about 10 and a half minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, up two scores, and Jarquez, you know, brushed off that long run, I'm thinking knockout punch, even a field goal here. And I'm just, you know, even after Auburn missed the field goal and Oklahoma went down the field and scored, as I was leaving, as me and you normally do, underneath the stadium to go to the where the press conference is to kind of get set up to walk back out on the field, the roar was just enormous. And Hunter had broken off another long run. And I'm thinking, okay, Auburn's up five. You know, field goal here at least puts them up eight, and I just don't think they're going to go the length of the field under 3 minutes. And then, of course, the turnover happened. So the frustrating part with that game was Auburn really did some things that they needed to do to win. Now, look, Oklahoma had some guys out. They had some really brutal self-inflicting penalties. But Auburn was clicking. They were running the ball. I mean, you put 491 on that Oklahoma defense, you should win the game. They didn't turn it over but once. They didn't kill themselves with penalties. They got off the field on third down. Yes, they gave up two big chunk plays. The throw where Kane Lee got toasted in the corner of the end zone, the long bomb, and then the not keeping contain on the run and letting Hawkins run up the middle for about 48 yards. But other than that, the defense played well. So what it comes down to, what's so frustrating about that game is, it's the same virus, but just different symptoms. You know, one Saturday it could be turnovers. Another Saturday it could be can't get off the field on third down and you commit untimely penalties. Well, what happened last Saturday is very, very clear. And it's frustrating because I think Auburn's close. I think they're close to turning the corner. I think they're close to correcting some of these ills and winning some games. But what happened Saturday that was self-inflicted was different than the other stuff. It was you left 10 points on the field in the first half, literally left them on the field. It's not a what if. You should score from the one, and you should make a 27-yard field goal, period. Even if you do that, the turnover, the pick six, I mean, it doesn't beat you. So, you know, to not score from the one and miss a block or could have walked in and to miss a 32-yard field goal and then get another chance and miss the 27-yarder after a substitution penalty, those are what losing football teams do. They find a way to lose. Do I think Auburn's going to be a losing football team by the end of the year? They could have a losing record, yes. But I just think that they're so close and there's so much – there's so much to just be encouraged by, and then it rips your heart out, that Auburn may be one of those teams, and Oklahoma game I think is a perfect example where at the end of the year people are saying, look, they're playing their best football right now. Nobody wants to play Auburn. The problem might be it might be a little too little, a little too late. And that game Saturday should have flipped the script on the season. And it did.
So you sounds like you subscribe to the line of thinking as I do that Auburn got better on Saturday. Auburn played better and got better as a football team.
They did, and they played some kids that helped them look better. That's going to be very, very encouraging for their future. So when I say Auburn's going to be playing better at the end of the year, you know, some of these guys that played this ton of freshmen, the Malcolm Simmons, the Caleb Harris, the Jay Crawfords, the Marcus Riddick, these kids that played and put Malik Blockton, Cam Coleman, these young freshmen that played and played well, I can't imagine how they can't be better in November than they are in September. Just by experience, finally getting more reps, finally getting on the field. I think that the Auburn fan base can look at that and glean hope from that. Now, you still have to have a proof of concept, but I'm going to say this flat out. I get it that Peyton Thorne should have had a ball picked off in the first half, but other than that, when you combine what he did in the second half against Arkansas and the first three quarters against Oklahoma, that was some of the finest quarterback play in five quarters Auburn's had in a while. He he was really playing well, hitting the deep ball, running the ball. Don't look at his total yards rushing because the sack yards count. But he was running the ball effectively. Did he make some bad choices on the RPO? Perhaps, yeah, where he should have handed it off instead of throwing it late there. But he also got put in some positions that Hugh Freeze even admitted where they should have just taken that off the plate, off the table, and just kept running it and kept running it and not given him that RPO option. But even when, you know, he pulled it at the right times and got some yards downfield, he made some good throws. Quarterback wasn't the problem Saturday except for the pick six. And let's be honest, okay, people need to understand the whole story. Sometimes they get little glimpses and jump to conclusions. Number one,
here we go.
That route and that play is the one that went for 60-something yards against Arkansas. Okay. Number two, the linebacker, Lewis, 10 for Oklahoma, got pushed into the passing lane by Jeremiah Wright because Jeremiah Wright kind of blocked him and initiated contact and kind of put – now, was he supposed to be in the flat there? Did he read it? I don't know. But I do know that he was deeper into the formation because Jeremiah Wright blew him up. So, I mean, I don't know. Was that the right call? I would say no, other because I would have just been very – and Hugh Freeze even said it, 3rd and 5, whatever it was, run the ball, you're up 5, and punt. And you know what, Jacob? They were in Oklahoma territory at the 40-yard line. You run it, get a couple yards,
and you go
punt
for it,
pin them deep. Now they got to go the length of the field in about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a touchdown to beat. You can't be a field goal.
So
I take your chances with that.
Yeah.
You know?
And so what my question has been, and I know so many fans around, you know, Auburn fans, whether it's my show or Locked On Auburn or anybody on social media boards, whatever the case may be, I mean, everybody's wondering, okay, if Hugh Freeze was able to see that on Monday, right, we can't afford to have Monday morning quarterbacks, Darryl. Why is that not being done in the game? That's the big question.
Well, I think that, first of all, he did have the option to hand the ball off there. And I think, no, it wasn't. It was an empty set.
So yeah, he went five wide.
Five wide it was. It was an empty set. I guess because you're playing to win there, you're up 5, it's 3rd and 5 or 6. You're in their territory, right? So no one's anticipating a pick six there. At the very least, it's an incompletion and you're punting, or it's a gain of 5 or 6, and then you have a choice of, do I go forward here on 4th and 1? So that's why. I mean, I don't disagree with the call. I really don't. I mean, I would have been fine running it and punting, but I also understand that you complete that pass there, and now you're gonna at least take another minute and a half off the clock, and you're in field goal range. You complete that pass and run it 3 more times down to about 2 minutes left to go in the game, and kick a 40-yard field goal, and it's for all intents and purposes, you got to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to even tie. So ifs and buts, I get it. I mean, you know, people have been criticized at Auburn before for playing not to lose and getting conservative and going in a shell. Hindsight's going to always be 20/20. You're going to look back and say, man, it was a pick six. You should have went ahead and just ran it and punted. True, but what if you hit the same play you did against Arkansas and KLF housed one, the game's over? I don't know. I think it's a tough – I don't have that huge of a problem with the call, but looking back on it, which we all can do, like I said, Monday morning quarterbacking, yeah, it would have been the smart thing just to run it and punt it. And who knows, you may have run it and got the first down with the way Hunter was running.
Sure.
But, you know, that's playing not to lose. And I think they saw something there, and they had 491 yards. They had a lot of offense. They had a lot of yards on the Oklahoma defense. So perfect storms, man. This team is a snake bit. Some is to their own doing with the turnovers and the penalties and all that. But I tell you, it's got this kind of luck and these kind of things that are happening. And I know you make your own luck and you make your own bad luck. But some of the things that are happening at some point has got to turn around, because they are gashing people offensively with yards and chunks of yardage through the air, on the ground. Defensively, they're starting to get pressure. still not turning it. Still not getting any turnovers, which is a head scratcher. One big turnover there could have completely won that game too.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And we got a couple of minutes before we get to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Georgia-Bama and then, of course, talk Auburn and Georgia coming up this Saturday. But is what was the biggest result around the SEC in your minds? Again, got a couple of minutes before the music kicks us out of here. Biggest result out in the SEC from last weekend, Darryl, in your mind?
Kentucky beating Ole Miss.
How about that?
I expected Alabama to beat Georgia. And if Georgia would have beat Alabama, it wouldn't have surprised. That's one of those that you're like either or. Neither one surprises you, right? The Kentucky-Ole Miss game, Kentucky going to Ole Miss and beating them was my biggest surprise. It really was. Biggest takeaway. I think that, Ole Miss still has a couple now tough games on their schedule, and they may have been a pretender. Tennessee may have slotted into that position to be the other candidate besides Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. I'm not sold on Missouri. Still, I'm just not. I think that their time is coming. Texas A&M gets all kind of publicity and run for being so great. You know, I get it. They've only lost one game, but they barely beat Bowling Green and they barely beat Arkansas. So it's there for the taking from an SEC standpoint, not the upper echelon. But I just think week in, week out, if you play smart and don't turn it over and don't hurt yourself, you have a chance to win. And Auburn's still got some games left on the schedule that they can win. But from an overall SEC standpoint, my biggest takeaway was Kentucky.
Yeah.
And that makes it a little bit hairier when you go to Kentucky now. I mean, that was one that I had as a win for Auburn. And now, you know, it's not so much. I mean, you are looking at a team that beat South Carolina, right, and beat Ole Miss. Or did South Carolina beat Kentucky? I think South Carolina beat Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I mean, that's
Kentucky almost beat Georgia.
They did.
Kentucky almost beat Georgia.
Yep.
And then they just beat Ole Miss. So they're not going to be a pushover.
No, they're not. And Auburn goes to Lexington this month, and the month that's on the road for Auburn football. We're talking as they go to Georgia this Saturday with Darryl Dapridge of Locked On Auburn. He's with us for another segment after this.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and we got about 15 more minutes with Double D Darryl Dapridge. You can catch him a couple of days a week during the Locked On Auburn podcast. He's going everywhere else around the state, around the country, around the world. Darryl, you're a busy man right now.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I have a couple appearances on Mondays, one with our good friend Ben Taylor on Monday mornings at 7:10 on WANI, and then at 8 on WNSP out of Mobile. I get a chance to talk to those guys. And then, of course, Zach on Wednesdays and Fridays on Locked On Auburn. And we do the reaction show after the football game that drops Sunday morning, and then always with you at 3:15 on Wednesday.
And you guys will be still talking a lot of football, but there will be a lot of basketball content coming out of the Locked On Auburn podcast as well, as we are. Practice is underway and basketball is right around the corner, my man.
Yeah, I mean, they're practicing hard. I know that I've heard some reports out of practice that Bruce is really, really pushing them this year, that it's very, very intense in practice, a little chippy. Part of that's because he feels like this team's going to be really good, and he knows that they need to have an edge. And I think he knows how good this team can be, so he's really pushing them in practice right now to make sure, especially with that non-conference schedule, to make sure they can, you know, meet expectations.
Well, as the calendar has flipped to October, we'll flip back over to Auburn football as they head to Georgia this weekend to take on the Dogs in Athens, a place, Darryl, I don't have to tell you, they haven't won since 2005. We're on 19 years since Auburn has won in between the hedges. But before we talk about the matchup between Auburn and Georgia, got to get your thoughts on what Georgia did against Alabama a week ago, where they go down 28-0, they roar all the way back, they take the lead, they give up a big play against Ryan Williams, and they really were one big play away from making a historical comeback.
Yeah, I was shocked that they fell behind like they did. Completely surprised that they got blown out early. Expected them to come back and make some sort of a run and play better and play well and play for pride. Did not expect them to go ahead and take the lead. And then, Alabama just comes right back down the field. So part of that tells me that, they've got a potent offense that can score when they're clicking on all cylinders, and that Auburn's defense is going to have to really, really play mistake-free, play well, get some turnovers. And then the other side, too, is that, Georgia's going to play upset. They're going to be angry. I think they realize it's so different now, the attitude of you want to win that game, but you're like, okay, we take care of business the rest of the way. We're in the college football playoff, right? So it's a whole different mindset. You drop this one Saturday to a wounded, struggling Auburn team, and you aren't necessarily. So I think Ole Miss probably has the same mindset if they win out. But, Georgia's dangerous. They're dangerous because they're so good. They're so talented. They got such a good quarterback. And I just think defensively – I'll say this, from an Auburn offensive standpoint, the way Auburn this year has been able to put up yards on a lot of defenses, whether it's Cal's, Arkansas's, or even that vaunted Oklahoma defense, I think Auburn's going to be able to move the ball on Georgia. I don't think this is the typical Georgia defense you've seen in years past that Auburn's going to struggle. I'm not saying they're not going to struggle maybe to score, but I think Auburn will move the ball. Alabama's offense is more potent than Auburn's, obviously. But, they give up a lot. They give up a lot to a very good freshman receiver, which Auburn has a few of. So it's not as doom and gloom going in there going, I hope we don't get shut out, or I hope Auburn can score. But from a defensive standpoint, Georgia can score, and they can score a lot. And it comes in waves. And so you better be ready to counter that is all I'm saying. You're going to have to be in a shootout maybe. And, I don't know. I don't know if Auburn is built for that. We'll see. I mean, there's things that happen in college football every Saturday that are absolutely unexpected. And maybe this Auburn team, the elixir and the medicine and exactly what the doctor ordered may be, get on the road, get out on the road where teams are closer, they bond, you're away from your home stadium where there's a ton of pressure, some boo birds. When Auburn started its first five games at Jordan-Hare, there was an inherent pressure that you better win four of them, at least. I mean, that's kind of like we all said that. You got to win four. Well, the pressure just built week after week after week. You drop one, okay, you can't drop another. You drop another, oh my gosh, you better be Oklahoma. Yeah. I think they were favored in every one of those ball games. Getting on the road as an underdog, maybe what this team needs to loosen up a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I said it earlier before you came on. Auburn has legitimately nothing to lose. Nothing. You have nothing to lose in this football game. And Georgia, on the other hand, I'm not saying they're threatening of missing the playoff if they lose this game, but they're definitely going to be on the hot seat to miss it if they lose this game. And so if you're Auburn, why not take that mindset and go into it and say, man, maybe this is the game that we get right. And we felt that we should have won last week, that we played good enough to win last week. So why not do it again and see if we can shock the world and upset a top five team in the country? And I think it comes down to Auburn's defense, because Darryl, you saw how Alabama's defense had Carson Beck rattled more than we've ever seen him. I know this is going to be in Athens and not Tuscaloosa, but man, if Auburn's defense could get after him and force a turnover or two, I think Auburn's got a chance to be in the ballgame.
Well, they're going to have to. There's no doubt that Auburn's going to have to do some things that they haven't done so far this year, and that is they're going to have to be on the positive side of the turnover ledger. They're going to have to cause some turnovers. They're going to have to get short field. They may even have to score on defense. I mean, they're going to have to rattle back. I think that Auburn's pass rush has been really emerging, the way Keldrick Falk has been playing, the way DeMarcus Riddick now is getting the freedom to pin his ears back and go. I think the emergence of Crawford on a corner, the linebackers are starting to, hit on all cylinders. So I think I just think that, there's an opportunity for Auburn to make some plays and to get some turnovers. But let's keep in mind it's homecoming. It's homecoming for Georgia.
I forgot
Georgia.
About fans, that. Oh,
yeah,
God.
fans should be pretty, you know, excited and lathered up. And so I think that, you know, Auburn's going to have to take the crowd out, and the best way to do that is with some turnovers.
I mean, they're going to have to. They're going to have to force turnovers and not turn it over are the two things that Auburn must do this weekend in Athens. So let me pose this to you, Daryl. It's my favorite game. It's the what-if game, all right? What if Auburn wins, and what if Auburn loses? Then what? Because we got a bye week coming up next week, and it's one of the latest bye weeks of any team in the SEC. So I'll pose those to you. What if Auburn wins, and what if Auburn loses to Georgia on Saturday?
Well, if they win, it completely saves their season, in my opinion. I think there's a path to six wins now. They've gotten back a game that everybody expected them to lose now that they win, so there's a trade-off. If they lose but play really well and just, you know, it's a good game, I still think there's some hope for the future, and I still think this team stays engaged and this recruiting class stays together. And then you say, okay, well, Missouri and Kentucky are winnable. And let's go win those two and get back to four wins and then be 4-4 and see exactly where we are now with four games left. I mean, that's how you got to take it. You get blown out and you look bad doing it and the quarterback has three or four interceptions, then you're on the verge of a lost season. So that's where you have to be careful.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Auburn is in Athens this weekend, taking on Georgia, 2:30 kick. You can hear the entire broadcast here locally over on Wings 94.3. And, Daryl, we got a couple minutes before I let you get out of here. You're a baseball guy, and I know your Pirates didn't get there. I know. I'm not going to make you talk about them. But you were going to be going to the Braves game last week. Is that last week or the week before when it got rained out?
It was last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it got rained out. And because the makeup game on Thursday was another makeup game from earlier in the year, the ticket that I held for Wednesday did not get me into the doubleheader Monday.
Really? So that's how that
works?
Yeah,
but I got it taken care of. Got a refund from the ticket. So, but yeah, it would have, if I'd had a ticket for the Thursday game, I could have gotten into the doubleheader Monday.
Wow. Okay.
So it was just a freaky luck of the draw. It would have been great to be over there for that doubleheader because it was like a one game playoff. So yeah, I love baseball and I can't wait to watch all these series. I'm really excited that teams like Kansas City and Detroit, are in it, you know, smaller market teams, that, you know, were teams in the '80s that had some good years. And I'm looking forward to this playoff series. These playoff series is a lot, and you know, the Braves Padres, that game last night, I think it hurt Atlanta to have to play a doubleheader Monday then travel across the country and play yesterday. I think they'll play a lot better tonight. The Chris Sale thing is just perplexing. That kills, you know, Atlanta is Cy Young candidate, and he's not even gonna be able to pitch in this series. I don't know if they make it out of this series with the back spasm things. Who knows? It's wonky. One day you can't even get out of bed with bad back spasms. So just seems like they've caught some bad breaks this year on the injury front. But, yeah, part of me looks at some of these teams in the playoffs, the Milwaukees, the Detroits, and the Kansas Cities, and I'm like, you know, they're small market teams, and they're getting to the playoffs. The Diamondbacks last year, the Rays have been – and it is frustrating as a fan of a small market team in Pittsburgh that they haven't been in 9 years. Their ownership is a joke. So it's hard. It's hard to watch baseball when you feel like your team is like May is out of it. But I love the game. I've loved it since, you know, the 70s, since I was a little kid. And this is a fun group of, you know, the Orioles being in it. It's just a fun throwback teams. But I am sick of teams like the Astros, Dodgers, and Yankees being in it. I really am. Phillies.
I have too.
A good friend that's a Philly fan, and I like for him. But Philly, I mean, a Pittsburgh guy in Philadelphia, I'm like, whatever.
I can't say much. I'm a Red Sox fan, man. They've won it four times in my lifetime. I
love the Red Sox. They're my second favorite team.
I mean, really? I didn't know
I have
that.
Ties. Yeah, a huge Red Sox fan. I actually have family that lived in Boston before they moved to Pittsburgh. So that was, as a kid growing up, my grandparents, that was always – my second team. My grandfather used to go to Fenway. He served Ted Williams. He worked at a restaurant. Ted Williams used to come in there, and he used to serve them, and he had a menu signed by him. So I've been to Fenway maybe 10 times, and I absolutely love the Red Sox, love Fenway, and it's the only baseball team I pull for that, you know, it's worth the crap, really.
So. I've been to Fenway. I've been one time, thankfully. I'm honored and blessed to say that I've been. I went on my senior trip in high school. The class was going to New York. I didn't care anything about going there, so Mom and I went to Boston instead and did the tour of Fenway Park. Right, got to go and check out the Green Monster and Pesky Pole and the whole thing. Right, and then went to a game that afternoon. It was in April, Daryl, and it snowed. I watched Red Sox baseball outside in the snow in April. It was pretty magical, to say the least.
Yeah, I've been every time I've been, it's been June or July, and it's been nice. You know, it's still been nice and cool with shorts, and I've been every area of that stadium, you know, walking around, even the areas it's so old and kind of you see rats like scurrying across. I mean, it's just amazing. But that place has got so much character, and I love what's cool about it, and people don't understand is they tailgate for Red Sox games like you do SEC football down here.
Yeah.
And then, but there used to be a street behind Fenway Park called Yawkey Way, which was a really famous street that there were vendors, sausage and pepper vendors, you know, scoreboard or scorebook guys, souvenirs. Well, like anything else, they decided they could monetize it. And about 10 years ago, they closed Yawkey Way down. And even to get on Yawkey Way, you have to have a ticket to the game. And that was pretty sucky because there's a lot of people that would tailgate out there, or hang around. And I say tailgate. It's not. You're walking. But you're hanging around. You're going to the Cask and Flagon, which is a local watering hole. You're standing out on the streets on Yawkey Way. It's a carnival atmosphere. It's incredible. And I've been to games on Tuesday nights in July against the Twins, and it was like that.
That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
It's a magical place. If you haven't been and you're a baseball fan and you're listening to Jacob's show, give yourself an opportunity to go and check it out because it is really special.
And take me with you. That's the only rule. Take me with you. I'd love to go back. Well, baseball playoffs are happening. You said Braves play again tonight. They do play the Padres. You can catch that broadcast here on ESPN 106.7. Season on the line for the Bravos. Auburn football heading to Georgia this weekend. They'll take on Georgia in Athens. We'll talk about it again next week, but you can catch Daryl everywhere, man. So tell them where you are, how they can find you, and keep up with what you got going on.
Follow me on Locked On Auburn's the quickest way, Wednesdays and Fridays, as well as Sunday mornings on the Reaction Show, where you get your podcast and on YouTube.
Awesome, man. Daryl, thanks so much for your time, brother, and I think we got something coming, so just maybe stay by the phones and maybe stay on social media, if you will.
Stay on social media. That's my advice. If I was an Auburn fan, I would say stay on social media today.
I like that. Hey, man, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Buddy.
Thanks so much. Daryl Dapper, it's Double D. He joins us every single Wednesday, 3:15 to 3:45, right here on ESPN 106.7. And, I don't know what he's talking about. There may be something on the horizon. Stick around. We'll see if something happens before we come back. If not, if it happens later, they'll have you covered right here on ESPN Radio. But we'll wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Daryl Dappert for joining us from 3:15 to 3:45. He's with us every Wednesday, and we appreciate him from the Locked On Auburn podcast. He writes for them a little bit. He's on The Barn, which is their message board site. I mean, Daryl has a lot going on, and rightfully so, because there is a lot going on. So be sure that you check him out and catch him with all of the content that he's putting out and a part of, and we also had Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 was on the show earlier today as well. He's with us every Wednesday, but always makes it more fun when it's Auburn and Georgia week, whether that's football, basketball, you name it. So we had him on in hour number one as well. We've talked a lot about this Georgia team, this Auburn-Georgia game, what it means, what can happen, expectations, all of that was on the show this afternoon. So if you missed any of that, be sure to go and catch it with the podcast. You'll find it posted on our station website right after the show. at ESPNAU.com. You'll find it there, today's show, plus all of our past shows as well. And you heard Daryl and I allude to maybe stay by your favorite social media today. My guess would be Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. So just keep that in mind. Maybe something could happen here today. And if it happens later, like I said, the guys will have you covered. The Drive coming up, Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, they'll have you for the next 2 hours. And then want to remind you, with the baseball playoffs, the Braves taking on the Padres tonight, game two of the wild card series. Braves must win to force a game three. If they lose, their season is over. And Lindsey Crosby told us yesterday, right? It's a miracle that this team, talking about the Braves, made it to the postseason. It really is. Given everything they went through, given all the injuries, all the bumps and bruises and everything like that, it really is a miracle that they made it to the playoffs. But once you get there, you want to perform, and you want your team to play well, and you want your team to, I don't know, put up a fighting chance. And they just didn't do that yesterday. So they've got to find a way to do that tonight when they take on the Padres. You can catch the broadcast of that here on ESPN 106.7. It begins at 7 p.m. We'll have the full ESPN national broadcast for you. Roxy Bernstein, Greg Olson, Auburn's own Greg Olson will be on the broadcast. So be sure that you tune into that. Even if you know, are watching it on TV, mute that, pair it up with the national broadcast. I do that all the time. So do that if you want to. We'll have that for you right here on ESPN Radio. Updates from some other games going on in the Major League playoffs. The Tigers were up 1-0. Remember, Detroit beat Houston yesterday, right? Beat them yesterday in game one of the wild card series. They were up 1-0 against the Astros heading into the seventh inning, where Houston scored two. They went up 2-1 in this game. And as I'm talking to you right now, the Tigers go and get another run. It's now 2-2. Yes, the Tigers tie it up in the top of the eighth inning. This is crazy right now what's happening in Houston. If the Tigers win, it's over. They win the series. If Houston wins, they'll force a game three. So that's currently going on right now. Looks like it's on ABC if you have a TV around. Royals and Orioles just underway. Bottom of the first, Royals on top of the Orioles 1-0. Kansas City won that game yesterday. Braves Padres still to come later tonight. Mets Brewers still to come later tonight. The Mets got the win over the Brewers yesterday in a comeback fashion, a huge comeback for the Mets yesterday. So that is happening later on today as well. Here's what's coming up on tomorrow's show, though, for us. Thursdays, back to a normal Thursday. During On the Line, we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30. Head coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School Football joins us as the Tigers hit the road. We take on the Red Devils of Phenix City Central coming up this Friday. So Coach Etheridge will join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And then Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Need to check in with him, because if Houston wins, he may be at the game. I don't know what his schedule is going to be. So we'll get him on regardless, though. I promise you that. Chris Gordy will join us coming up on tomorrow's show as well. And then a free-for-all Friday. So a great rest of the week. You don't want to miss it. You can catch it all right here. ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. Again, Braves and Padres tonight on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Starts at 7 o'clock, so don't you miss it. That's going to do it for me. We appreciate you being here. Shout out the Orthopedic Clinic for sponsoring the second hour from 3 to 4 each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.